Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much and good morning. When one thinks television has stooped as low morally as humanly possible, he probably is in for a rude awakening. Let me illustrate what I mean. On Friday night, January the 31st, 1997, ABC's 2020 program with Barbara Walters, Hugh Downs, and John Stossel conducted a discussion on legalizing prostitution. At the beginning of the program, John Stossel interviewed Senator Orrin Hatch on the propriety of legalizing prostitution. Senator Hatch was adamantly opposed to such unthinkable immorality. He said that some things are right and some things are wrong. Prostitution, in Senator Hatch's view, is wrong, always wrong. Since I know Senator Hatch's religious convictions and his record in the United States Senate, I was not the least surprised when he vigorously condemned legalizing prostitution. John Stossel also interviewed two police officials, one from San Francisco and the other somewhere from the Midwest. Both men thought the legalization of prostitution would enable cities and states to regulate it and to curb the violence which often accompanies it. I would have been amazed if the police official from San Francisco had not endorsed the legalization of prostitution. San Francisco's wide-open approval of all kinds of immorality is too well known to require a lengthy discussion. No city in the United States, and not many abroad, is so lenient on perverted sex as is San Francisco. So why would the city fathers, including high officials in the police department, object to heterosexual prostitution? Homosexual prostitution does not even raise an eyebrow with thousands and thousands of San Franciscans. John Stossel met with a number of prostitutes and asked their views on legalizing prostitution, although that seemed a waste of time. Who would doubt for a minute that prostitutes would love the legalization of their sleazy practices? The prostitutes John Stossel interviewed were members of an organization called Coyote. Those letters stand for Call Off Your Old Tired Ethics. Incidentally, representatives of this gross organization appeared several years ago on the Phil Donahue Show. Everyone who knows Phil Donahue's moral values, or lack thereof, would not be surprised that he would have these women. But who would have thought that the producers of 2020 would stoop so low as to give publicity to one of the most immoral and destructive kinds of behavior in the history of the world? Do the producers at ABC have no shame? Do they engage in such offensive programming just to attract viewers? Does everybody have his price? Gunter Levy's new book, Why America Needs Religion, affirms that some women's pursuit of their self-interest drives them to defend prostitution. Dr. Levy says that some women call prostitution just another kind of work. Sex work is the politically correct expression. He mentions Priscilla Alexander, co-director of Coyote and author of Sex Work. She argues that women ought to have the right to determine for themselves how they shall use their own bodies. Do they have that right when their behavior adversely affects the home, our splendid young people, the moral atmosphere of our communities, and the health of our citizens? Does everyone have a right to do whatever he or she wishes, regardless of the consequences? Are there no limits to human behavior? When Senator Hatch insisted that some things are right and some things are wrong, what standard do you suppose he was using? He certainly was not appealing to the ethical values of the secular humanist movement. Humanist Manifesto No. 2 affirms that ethics is autonomous and situational. The word autonomous means self-rule. so that every humanist is a law unto himself. The Old Testament expressed the attitude of many secular humanists. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 17:6. The word situational means that nothing is right or wrong within itself. It all depends on the situation. Prostitution might be wrong under some circumstances, but not necessarily under all circumstances. In most cases, right and wrong cannot be discovered in the writings of liberal theologians. Most modernists doubt that the Bible was written for our generation, so we cannot have an absolute standard of right and wrong based on Scripture. John B. Cobb Jr.'s 1993 book, Becoming a Thinking Christian, appears to have some respect for the Scriptures, but he does not accept the Bible as an absolute authority. He insists that the broader call to love God and one's fellow creatures can lead to different moral judgments from those that appear incidentally or even emphatically in the Bible. Page 52. My friends, if the Bible is not our absolute standard of behavior, there is none. Every man and woman is left to make his or her own decisions, so long, I suppose, as they do not run afoul of the law. And how can we allow the law to curb our appetites and actions? According to religious leaders, such as John Shelby Spong of the American Episcopal Church, we cannot discover eternally valid principles which govern human behavior. Bishop Spong argues that we must give up all certainty regarding right and wrong, at least from a biblical viewpoint. If we do not give up certainty, he says he sees little future for the church. If we do give up all truth and all universals, there certainly will not be much future for the church or for the family or for the nation. Besides, I wonder if Bishop Spong is certain about our needing to give up all certainty. If he is not certain, we need not pay any attention to what he writes. If he is certain, he just refuted his argument about certainty. How could anyone be more illogical and more wrong? My friends, there is one and only one reliable standard for moral values, the inspired Word of God. Humanists, atheists, agnostics, hedonists, liberal theologians, and evolutionists cannot have a consistent standard of right and wrong. Only those who believe and follow the Scriptures can know what was right yesterday, what is right today, and what will be right tomorrow. We have in the Bible the only infallible guide to human conduct. The psalmist asked a long time ago, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" He gave God's answer, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Anyone who thinks he can invent or find any other dependable standard of right and wrong is hereby challenged to do so. And what do the Scriptures say about prostitution? Will you please turn with me to Proverbs 7 to ascertain what God thinks of prostitution? This chapter begins with admonitions to pay close attention to the advice of the Lord God of heaven and earth, and to one's parents. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. Say unto wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger who flatters with her words. Proverbs 7:1-5. Faith in God and respect for His inspired word may not prevent your being involved in sexual immorality, but they will if you will abide by your beliefs. God designed His word to keep us from all kinds of immorality, and not just sexual immorality. The word strange in verse 5 does not refer to foreign women. It means anyone who is not a man's wife. God specifically forbids anyone's engaging in an intimate relationship outside marriage. God designed the sexual act for men and for their wives. Anyone from outside God's arrangement is a stranger in the sense the inspired writer had in mind. Solomon asked, "And why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of the Lord are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all His goings." Proverbs 5:20-21. According to Solomon, wisdom from above was given to us to deliver us from the strange woman, even from the stranger who flatters with her words, which forsake the guide of her youth and forget the covenant of her God. Proverbs 2:16-17. Proverbs 7 provides us with a classic description of the operation of a prostitute. "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said to him, 'I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows.'" Proverbs 7:6-14. I hope you noticed in this reading that the wise man does not place all the blame on the woman. He calls young men and older ones who seek the companion of a prostitute simple ones and void of understanding. We need to remember that prostitution would die immediately if there were no men who were immoral and hard-hearted enough to spend their money and their manhood on prostitutes. That is one of the reasons that prostitutes have found for complaining about their treatment by law enforcement officials. The law in most cases prosecutes the woman, but allows the man to go free. That, my friends, is discrimination, and ought not to be allowed. If the woman has broken the law by selling her body, the man has broken the law by buying it. Both ought to pay heavy fines or spend time in prison, or both. The prostitute whom Solomon describes was outwardly a religious woman. She claimed to have peace offerings with her and to have paid her vows. How could a woman be immoral who had peace offerings with her and had paid her vows to the Lord? Does any of this sound like what has occurred in recent years among some religious leaders? How could a preacher or a priest or a rabbi be immoral when they walk in such close association with the Lord? Oddly enough, some religious leaders and some counselors have used such ridiculous reasoning to seduce women. In those cases, in my judgment, the preachers and counselors are worse than the women who sell their bodies in the sleazy business of prostitution. The prostitute professes love for the young man she attempts to seduce into sexual immorality. After confessing to have peace offerings with her and having paid her vows to the Lord, she says, "Therefore came I forth to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Proverbs 7:15-18. The woman whom Solomon discusses was what might be called in modern times a high-class prostitute. The house she describes was not that of a very poor woman. Her bed was decked with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. She was probably like some of the prosperous prostitutes of Hollywood and of other American cities. But her behavior was still that of an immoral and ungodly woman. It does not matter, my friends, how you dress up a skunk. It is still a skunk. You can powder it and perfume it, but it's still going to smell like a skunk. Why would anyone ever imagine that prostitution was honorable and moral regardless of the circumstances? A woman who sells her body and the man who buys it are violating the laws of our land, except in Nevada, and flaunting the laws of Almighty God. You can call what prostitutes do escort service, but it is still damnable, destructive, and diabolical. Even if the law is stupid enough to overlook it, as many cities in the United States do, or legalize it, as the state of Nevada has done, it cannot be excused on any basis. Jay Leno says four businessmen want to develop a prostitution theme park in Nevada. He said he thought that was what the state of Nevada was. Can you imagine what motivates anyone to legalize prostitution? Is it because state and city leaders and their supporters have the moral values of barnyard animals? Did you notice in the reading of Proverbs 7 that the prostitute entices her victim to take our fill of love until the morning? She pleads with him, "Let us solace ourselves with love." Proverbs 7:18. In the words of one of Tina Turner's raucous songs, what has love got to do with it? The use of the word love as a synonym for lust is a shameful use of the language, any language. Love has absolutely nothing to do with prostitution, or with adultery, or with homosexuality. The participants may call it love, but it is irresponsible and inexcusable immorality. True love involves real commitment to one's partner. A lifetime commitment, not a one-night stand. That is one reason Bible believers are offended when they hear television and movie personalities speak of making love. May I repeat, it is not love, it is lust, soul-condemning lust. They which do such things, Paul said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21. The prostitute of Proverbs 7 assures her unsuspecting victim that the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Proverbs 7:20. The woman of this chapter was a married woman. She had betrayed the trust of her husband. Do you remember an incident which occurred more than 20 years ago involving a group of married women? While their husbands were in their offices, the wives were going to motels and hotels and selling their sexual services. It probably has happened many times throughout history, but obviously that does not make it right. Please listen to Solomon's comments on the results of a woman's seductiveness. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goes after her straightway, or immediately, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastes to the snare, and knows not that it is for his life. Proverbs 7:21-23. Is King Solomon saying that there are physical consequences as well as spiritual repercussions of prostitution? Was he speaking of venereal diseases as well as a guilty conscience? In case you think ancient people did not know about and did not suffer from venereal diseases, let me assure you that was not the case. The fabulously wealthy young King Tut of Egypt died from syphilis. That probably was true of hundreds of thousands of people in ancient times, although I do not know if Solomon had that in mind. I do know about the hundreds of thousands of people worldwide who have died from AIDS. I also know that most of these died as a result of their sexual behavior, either heterosexual or homosexual. I also know that 25 million Americans are infected with genital herpes, a venereal disease which is not generally fatal, although babies born to herpetic mothers can die of genital herpes. AIDS, syphilis, and genital herpes are just three of some 50 venereal diseases sweeping this country. Legalizing prostitution would not likely reduce the incidence of venereal diseases and could increase it exponentially. Proverbs 6 has much to say about the dangers inherent in sexual misconduct, all kinds of sexual misconduct. Solomon begins his discussion by encouraging young men to listen to the advice of their parents and of other older people. My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, and tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you awake, it shall talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let her take you with her eyelids. Proverbs 6, 20-25. Why should parents give this advice, and why should young people listen to it? Solomon gives us good reasons. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he is found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though you give him many gifts. Proverbs 6, 26-35. In the passage I have just read to you, Solomon was not speaking specifically of prostitution, but of adultery. He says very plainly that men and women cannot engage in sexual immorality without bringing disease and death on themselves. Besides, if a man commits adultery, he might get shot in the process. I am not attempting to justify the shooting of a man for committing adultery with another man's wife, but all of us know it happens. If a man steals bread because he is hungry, many people have compassion on the thief. But there is no excuse ever for being involved in adultery. Many of you know the story of Dick Morris, President Clinton's closest political advisor. Morris is apparently one of the most brilliant political strategists in the nation. He has plotted and planned for the election of a number of prominent politicians. But morally, he was inexcusably stupid, which he has admitted. While he was advising President Clinton and helping him in getting elected, he was spending $200 per night on what the press called a high-class prostitute. Personally, I resent the use of that language. But obviously, she was not the run-of-the-mill kind. There is good evidence that Dick Morris was talking to the president about confidential governmental matters in the presence of the prostitute. Nobody knows how many state secrets she overheard, although frankly, I would trust her as far as I would Dick Morris. Morris's paramour could have been a paid agent for some foreign country, such as Iraq or Libya or Iran. Morris may not have betrayed his country, but he certainly betrayed the president, and he betrayed his own wife. But that is just one of the results of prostitution and other forms of sexual immorality. And yet we have police officers, politicians, and media personnel who see no problem, at least no serious problem, with legalizing prostitution. Can our leaders be that naive, or are they simply evil? Judge Robert Bork's outstanding book, Slouching Toward Gomorrah, Modern Liberalism and American Decline, expresses grave concern about the attitude of many media personnel. Recreational sex, he affirms, is pervasive and is presented as acceptable about 6 times as often as it is rejected. Homosexuals and prostitutes are shown as social victims. Television takes a neutral stand toward adultery, prostitution, and pornography. It warns against the dangers of imposing the majority's restrictive sexual morality on these practices. The villains in TV's moralist plays are not deviants and libertines, but puritans and prudes. The moral relativism of the 60s is now television's public morality. Page 127. What I have discussed with you today may not seem any great threat to your welfare and to that of your family. But when the media support and give publicity to any kind of behavior, it has a way of becoming a part of the American scene. Legalization of prostitution may be some years away, especially in certain parts of our country. But it will gradually creep into our communities and into our states, unless we are aware of what is happening and use our influence, our voices, and our prayers to stop it. Now, friends, we thank you for listening. May our Heavenly Father bless and keep you.